Along the Roman road up Sant'Egidio, we pick handfuls of the most divine fruit of all, the minute wild strawberries that dangle like jewels under their jagged leaves. Then come the white peaches with pale and fragrant flesh. Gelato made of these makes you want to dance. Then the plums, all the varieties, the small round gold, the dusky purple-blue, and the pale green ones, larger than golf balls. Grapes start to arrive from farther south. A few ruddy apples, then the first pears ripen. The small green ones couldn't be ripe, but they are. Then the globular, speckled yellows. In August, the figs just start to plump up, not reaching their peak until September. But finally, the blackberries, that heart of summer fruit, are ripe. Days before I go home, at the end of August, I can take out my colander and pick enough for breakfast. Every morning the birds are wild for them, but can't manage to eat quite all. Picking blackberries, a back-to-basics pleasure, passing over the ones still touched with a hint of red and those that squish to the touch, pulling off only the perfectly ripe ones until my fingers are rosy. The taste of sun-warmed berries brings me the memory of filling my jar with them in an abandoned cemetery. As a child, I sat down on a heaped mound of dirt, unconsciously eating luscious berries from a plant whose roots intertwined with old bones. Bees burrow in the pears. Where they've fallen, thrushes feast. Who knows how the wants of our ancestors act out in us? The mellow scents somehow remind me of my mean grandmother Davis. My father privately called her the snake. She was blind with Greek statue eyes, but I always believed she could see. Her charming husband had lost all the land she inherited from her parents, who owned a big corner of South Georgia. On Sunday rides, she'd always want Mother to drive her by the property she'd lost. She couldn't see when we got there, but she could smell peanut and cotton crops in the humid air. All this, she'd mutter, all this. I'd look up from my book. The brown earth on either side of the car spread flat to the horizon. From there, who could believe the world is round? I first thought of her when we had the terraces plowed and the upturned earth was ready for planting. Fertile earth, rich as chocolate cake. Big Mama, I thought. Biscuit face, old snake, just look at this dirt, all this. The heat breaks with a fast rain, a pelting, determined rain that soaks the ground, then quits, gone, finished. The green landscape smears across the windows. The sun bounces back out, but robbed of its terror now. Here, the edge of autumn. What is it? The smell of leaves drying, a sudden shift in the air. A slightly amber cast to the light, then a blue haze hanging over the valley at evening. I would love to see the leaves turn, pick up the hazelnuts and almonds, feel the first frost, and build a little olive wood fire to take the chill off the morning. My summer clothes go in the duffel under the bed. I make a few wreaths of grapevine and twine them with sage, thyme, and oregano, herbs I can use in December. The fennel flowers I've been drying on a screen go in a painted tin I found in the house. Perhaps the Nona I've grown fond of kept hers here, too. The man with his coat over his shoulders stops in front of the shrine with his handful of dried yarrow. He brushes out the shrine with the side of his hand. All fall, when I am busy with students, he will walk the white road, perhaps wearing an old knitted sweater. Later, a scarf around his neck. The man is walking away. I see him stop in the road and look back at the house. I wonder, for the thousandth time, what he is thinking. He sees me at the window, adjusts his coat over his shoulders, and turns toward home. Scattered books go back to their proper shelves. My house in order. A lizard darts in, panics, flees out the door. The thought of the future spins through me. What magnet out there is pulling now? I stack pressed sheets on the armadio shelves. Clearing my desk, I find a list. Copper polish, string, call Donatella, plant sunflowers, double hollyhocks. The sun hits the Etruscan wall, turning the locust trees to lace. Two white butterflies are mating in midair. I walk from window to window, taking in the view.
We hope you have enjoyed this production of Under the Tuscan Sun by Francis Mays. This program was produced and directed by Lars Howell. Abridgment by Leslie Elizabeth Thomas. Production copyright 1998, Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing, all rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.